It should be already on. Don't know if. I'm looking at my sound, folks. I am on. There we go. Good morning, everyone. You know, Krista this morning when she was praying over the snow, and I was having a chat with Crystal this week, and we were talking about what's coming, and I said, yeah, well, they say snow, but I said no. And we got snow anyway. And but you know, the thing is we need moisture. And the Lord provides it in a way I didn't want it, but we still got what we needed, right? And I think that sometimes, for me, it's just like, Papa, no. Don't want things this way. But he provides in ways. He's working in the hidden places. He does things in a way that we can't imagine. And you know what? Like Ralph says, how much more, when it happens, when God does it, how much more than our tiny little perceptions of what we need, right? It's so good. And so, yeah, I just, to be encouraged. But I want to come in line in agreement with what Ralph was sharing in communion. It's all about Jesus. Whatever we do, whatever we look, wherever we look, it's all about Jesus and the finished work. And again, reading scriptures, even reading Old Testament, think of it through Jesus. What he's accomplished, what we no longer have to be bound by, like the law. We've been set free in Jesus because he's fulfilled it. So in a sense, because we're in Jesus, the law is fulfilled in us. Amen? Okay. I'm going to make you say amen if you don't say amen. I want you to get excited this morning. We may be a few here in person, and I don't know how many are online, but it doesn't matter. We need to get excited. We need to raise a hallelujah. Right? We need to do that. That's right. We need to do that. What we have in Jesus is amazing. Oh, Jesus, that name, Jesus. And when we say that name, Jesus, we need to understand what's happened. Do you realize without him, we have nothing? Really, without Jesus, we're objects of wrath. Aren't you glad you're not an object of wrath? Amen. Jesus changed everything. And even those who don't believe, he changed it for them too. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Just say it, Jesus. Now, you know what? It isn't just that it's a word you can say and there's something magical about it. It's because of who that name represents, who that name is calling forth in us. It's not just a name, but it's the identity of our Savior. It's not just a name, but he is new life. It's not just a name because he brought freedom from our past. It's not just his name, but he brought hope. And faith, and the Holy Spirit, and power, and righteousness, and. How much more, right? Like it. This morning, the title of my message is this. If we can maybe get it to work together. Maybe not. I don't know if I am. Okay, Rebecca, we got to freeze up again. It's not. Actually, you're going to find out what that is. If you look in the bottom, the bottom left-hand corner, that might start giving you some ideas, but it'll make sense at the end. There we go. That you might become is the title of my message. And we're looking at a scripture here from 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's one of my favorites. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the incredible exchange that took place. God the Father made sin-free Jesus to be sin for you and me, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of the Father in Christ Jesus. So we need to take a hold of this, our new identity, and we have talked and shared and preached many times about your identity in Christ. If you don't know your identity in Christ, you're not going to walk in the fullness that Jesus, the fullness of the inheritance Jesus we share with. We share his inheritance with him. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say this with me. I'm righteous in Christ. And if you don't know, and that at that reality, at a heart level, a heart reality, then what you've become, of what you've become, you won't be able to bear fruit after that. In other words, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you have faith. That is a fact, or a truth of God. But if you don't know it in your own heart, you're going to struggle with walking in righteousness. Oh, I'm not right. You know, that kind of thing. In fact, Jesus said it this way. In Luke 6, we'll put it up there, I think. In Luke 6, 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay, now, what did you just say? You are righteous. So you are righteous, you are not evil, okay? But if you in your heart, you keep storing up thoughts of this world, the way the world thinks, the patterns of this world, you're going to speak forth evil. You're going to write things on your heart. You're going to establish your heart in beliefs that aren't in line with the truth of God. Okay? Now, as a believer, you're righteous, but if you're still seeing yourself as the world sees you, if you're still looking at the world and others from a worldly or an evil perspective, that if you are filling your mind with worldly thoughts, constantly getting all worked up, and I'm talking about emotionally, they're going to get written on your heart as belief. We know that information plus emotion equals something being established in your heart as a belief. So Jesus is saying here, those belief things are going to start flowing out of your mouth if that's what you've established your heart in. They become things you have affections for. And that's what's going to pour forth from your mouth. And so I ask you, are you speaking life over yourself and others and the world, or are you speaking death? A pastor friend of mine, this is a while ago, there was a group talking about, you know, you call people and you have a conversation, and what's the first thing you say when you meet somebody? Hi, and how are you? How are you? So you might get the little quick whatever, yeah, fine, good, whatever, you know, just kind of a response because somebody talked to you. Or you can also get to the place that, well, and this is what this one pastor says, I get tired of asking people how they're doing because the first three things out of their mouth are always negative things, the first negative things that are happening in their life. How are you? Oh, well, you know. And it's usually, and so he says, I get tired of asking them that question because what is coming out of their heart is what, is, a mouth is what's in their heart, what are believing. And so that's an interesting thing for us to think about. What's coming out of my mouth? What am I speaking forth? And if I'm speaking forth things, you know, we need to sometimes take back and what is in my heart? What have I established in my heart? What do I have affections for in my heart? And it sounds crazy to think we have affections for things that are negative, but you know what? If you get thinking about it and, you know, you're always talking out the negative stuff and viewing the negative stuff and looking at the negative stuff, that's what you have affection for. And say, well, I don't like the new mind. It's like, well, but what's coming out of your mouth? What are you spending your time focusing on? What are you talking about all the time? The thing, let's just go on. I'm going to take you to this next scripture here. This is from Proverbs 4:23, pardon me, and it is from the Passion Translation, and I chose it because it's a little different from, it's just better. Let's put it that way. It just takes us out of a frame of mind. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. God has set before us some wisdom here. Above all else, guard the affections of your heart. Guard the belief of your heart. Guard your heart. What are you affectionate for? What do you want to be affectionate for in your heart? Negative stuff? The negative things? Or the things of God and the promises, the how much more of God? The how much more we have in Jesus. And it goes on to say, hey, look, it's going to affect your life. So if you're sitting here as a woe is me, everything goes wrong always in my life, what's going on in your heart? It's affecting your life. And so we want to take hold of what Jesus has done. Again, this is not putting us down and saying we're bad or evil, or we just have to get a hold of what Jesus said. He became sin for you and for me that we might become the righteousness of God. That's who I am. That's where I'm going to seek and speak. That's what I'm going to have affection for in my heart. Again, it's interesting to think about, what do we have affections for in our heart? And you know what? In today's climate, if Jesus is right in saying whatever's in your heart, you're going to speak forth, we can see what's in people's hearts. What they're developing affections for. And believers, I want to encourage you in this. What fruit are you producing and what you're focusing on and what are you having affections for? I have a whole another message. I'll preach one day on that, share one day on that. But I'll tell you what's happening is the enemy is trying to divide the camp. And we need to be careful. Let's look at Romans, and this is a familiar one again, but such, you know, Jesus, I'm going to just say this, Jesus said to his disciples when he was ascending, he says, go forth and make disciples of all the earth, and he named the, you know, in Judea and to the ends of the earth, teaching them, baptizing them and teaching them to, does anybody know what he said? To obey my teachings. Here is one of the things he's saying. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now listen to this. How many of you want to be transformed? Yeah, we want to be transformed. We don't want to be conformed to the patterns of this world. Because trust me, we can see the, you know, like I said, if you read through history, history repeats itself. You know, I don't want to be a part of that history. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. And it says, so do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Jesus said, teach them to obey what I said. Jesus, oh, you know, Jesus' two commands that fulfills all the commands. And love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God. And that all the prophets and the laws are fulfilled. So we got to transform our mind. When we're sitting there knocking our neighbor or our government or whatever, our brothers and sisters, I can't believe that that person's a Christian. Right? Be transformed. Love your neighbor. Love your brother. Love your sister in the Lord. Man, we don't all get it right. But Jesus did. And we're in him. Renew your mind. And then it's, and look, yeah. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve the will, God's will, what God's will is. His good. His will is good. Here's another one. How many of you stopped and really thought about this? It says his good, his pleasing. His good, his pleasing. See, we go, oh, it's good and perfect will. But no, his will is pleasing. Good, pleasing, and perfect will. And again, that's where we got to take hold of those thoughts. Make them captive. Take them captive. Those negative blots that are coming out. Take it captive, you righteous ones of God. And make it obedient to Christ. What has Christ done? We took communion here this morning. What has he done? He says, do this in remembrance of me in every situation. Not just taking communion. Do it in remembrance of me. What has he done? Do you know? Do you know in your heart what he's done? Let's move on to Philippians here. Chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, come on, that's just ridiculous. Who could even ask us that? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. A little while ago, a couple of weeks ago, I had a situation where I lost my dog. I went out the door, I was piling pop cans to take back to recycling, and he was outside, and I saw him and putting things, and then he was gone. Now, that's my little buddy, and because I'm single, he's kind of that other living thing within my home, and he's pretty precious to me. So I walked up and down, because I thought, well, he's just come around the church here to pee on a tree. He has his favorite trees he likes to pee on. So it came, no, it wasn't there. Went down the street calling. Nope, nope. And he usually doesn't get too far away from me because he gets a little nervous and he comes. Down the street, down the alley, back down this street, down the alley again. Went over one street, came back looking. Our neighbor here got involved and she started looking for us. Calling and went that way. I went that way, got in the truck and I drove over this way and that way and came back out and I searched for an hour. It was over the lunch hour and so I was still searching when Ralph pulls up and I think he could see that there was great anxiousness on my face. And he says, well, you know, what's happened? And I says, I've lost my dog. I've lost Aslan. And when all of this is going on and I'm still looking, it's like, Lord, my emotions are not lining up with what I know is truth. I can't get my brain to focus on you, but I know that you're there with me. Help me find this dog. Give me wisdom above my emotions because, well, you know what it's like when you get all anxious. Your brain is just, but my heart knew, and my heart had a peace in it. And it's like the Lord just said, it's going to be okay. I couldn't get my brain to catch up with my heart quite then. And I remember one of my prayers was, Lord, I don't know where he is, but would you just pick him up and put him in the church? Because he could come back while I'm walking around and wouldn't find me and then start looking for me, you know, it's sort of that kind of thing. So you could tell. And finally, Ralph, he's driving around looking, and I've been walking and walking. I come back here, and I says, I don't know. I says, maybe he's in the church. So Ralph goes and opens the door, and guess where he is? Sitting at the top of the stairs. Now, I need to tell you that was in my heart and I think an answer to prayer in the sense of this. That dog was outside and the door was locked when I was still putting the cans in. And it was God who heard, and you can say, well, that's ridiculous or that's a miracle, who put this little dog back in the church. Now, I want to tell you, I know something happened because my little dog is not leaving my side anymore. He's pretty. I think he did. But here's what I'm saying. I petitioned the Lord with thanksgiving. And the peace of God started in my heart. And was working its way in my thoughts. It's like, well, Lord, you know, you start thinking, well, maybe there's another way I need to look at this. Maybe there's another thing I need to do. And all I remember is just that, oh, I don't know, maybe he's in the church. Why would God answer that prayer for me? But he cares, and he did that. And we laugh now, but we rejoice and sing a hallelujah because our God answers the simplest prayers or the craziest prayers. There's nothing too difficult for him. It's all about Jesus. I have an identity in Jesus. You have an identity in Jesus. When we have faith in the Lord, when we've given our hearts to him and saying, I'm following you. I may not know where it's all going to lead, but I'm following you. We have this identity, and there is fruit that's going to come from that. When we see ourselves in the When we know in our hearts the identity we have in Jesus, we're going to start producing fruit after that. Do you know you're a part of God's covenant people? We shared in the covenant this morning. This is the new covenant in my body. We just participated in that. And Jesus said, remember me. I love that, Ralph, because it's right in line with what I was wanting to share this morning. We come to the community and we remember Jesus. And I want to just talk a little bit about that covenant. That covenant, you know, is between Jesus and the Father. There was a covenant made between Jesus and the Father, and Jesus fulfilled it. It was established, fulfilled perfectly in Jesus. And so all the promises in the covenant are Jesus. He's earned it. He has the right to it all. And now you, by faith, having accepted Jesus and his completed work, and I think of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, you have become a co-heir with Christ in all these promises, knowing that you are a covenant people and covenant with God that you might become, the righteousness of God. You are God, might become God's covenant people. I just want to take a quick little note here on that word, that you might become. It doesn't mean that you maybe. Well, maybe you might become. Well, maybe it might happen. That's not what it means. The meaning is being made. It is that you are and that you are in process. It's the same as when we are saved, being saved, and have been saved, or will be saved, pardon me. And that's from 2 Timothy and Philippians 2 and Romans 5 that talks about we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. It's all three at once. So when it says that you might become the righteousness of God, you're in process and you are. You are righteous, the righteousness of God, and you're in process. And that sometimes messes with our mind, but his understanding is far bigger, better than mine. And I'm just going to trust the Lord, have faith in God. It's important to remember that you're in covenant with God and his covenant people, and that it's all about Jesus and through Jesus. So we're going to take another little walk through some scripture here. Galatians 3, 5 through 7. So again, I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the work of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, hi Gentiles, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through you. So way back, before anything, Abraham knew what was coming. God showed him. He is a friend of God's. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let's jump down to verses 26 to 29 here. And it says, so in Christ, you are children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So all the promises that was given to Abraham are ours because we are of the seed of Abraham. I'm just looking at my time here. So I want you to look at this word that was spoken to Abraham. It says, after this, okay, let's just pause there for a minute. After what? Okay, Abraham had gone out to battle to rescue Lot and with his allies, and when he returned to the Valley of the Kings in victory, Abraham encounters Melchizedek, who brings out bread and wine. I suggest that's our first introduction to communion that's coming. And Abraham, who's called Abram at the time, blesses Melchizedek with a tenth, that tithe, of all the spoils of battle. And Melchizedek blesses Abraham. And after that, that's the after this. This is what the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, or Abram. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and don't you love this? Your very great reward. So, as Abraham's children, we know that the Lord is our shield and our very great reward. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The father of faith. And every problem, every promise that was given to Abraham was given to his descendants, and they were given to us. So I'm setting some ground rules here, or some ground to understand. We have an identity in Christ. We know that we are have rights to the promises of God because we have faith in Jesus Christ, and we are now considered to be children of our seed of Abraham, part of the descendants of Abraham. I think I have this scripture here. This is the scripture we started with this morning. We are people of faith. And because of Jesus, being in Jesus, the covenant between the Father and Jesus is fulfilled perfectly in him. We have become the righteousness of God in Jesus and the people of his covenant. Now, I want to draw attention to some things. You know, in the past little while, and you can go ahead and bring that right up, bro, because that's where I'm going. And I'm not going to even say it's been the past year or past 6 months or whatever. It's just been the past while. Our congregation, our sphere of influence, if I can put it that way, we've been under some, I'm sorry, I guess I'm going over time a little bit. We have been going through some stuff. We have lots of people who are suffering illnesses. We have job loss and financial problems and relationship troubles and. But Papa has not left us or forgotten us. His promises and his word endures forever. And so I want to share right here Isaiah 41, 12 to 16. And this is God speaking to us. Children, descendants of Abraham, you will look for your enemies in vain. Who's our enemy? Satan, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You're going to look for them in vain. Those who war against you against you will vanish without a trace. Hello? What needs to vanish in your life without a trace? He says, I am Yahweh, your mighty God. I grip your right hand and I won't let you go. And I whisper to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. I just want to make a note. I think I have it as the NIV, but this may be the Passion Translation. Just, do not be afraid. I'm here to help you. He says it twice. Jacob, although you feel like a grubworm, have no fear. He's not calling him a grubworm. He's saying, you know what? Don't you sometimes feel like a grubworm? He says, even though you feel that way, have no fear, O man of Israel. I'm here to help you. There it is that second time. I'm your kinsman redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then he goes on to say this. I am making you into a powerful threshing instrument with teeth new and sharp. You will reduce the hills to chaff and crush the mountains into dust. You will winnow them, and the stormy wind will blow them all away. And then you will spin and dance and rejoice in Yahweh, boasting with admiration in the Holy One of Israel. Now I'm just going to give you some quick pictures here because I did not know what a threshing sledge is. It's a big board with all kinds of teeth. They're actually sharp rocks sticking out of it. And they ride around on the grain and they sit on it and it crushes it. And listen to what the Lord said here, though. Say, am I in the right? Right, maybe I need to go backwards. Yeah, it's okay. He says, you will reduce the hills to chaff and crush the mountains to dust. What is the enemy that's before you? What is the thing you're struggling with? We started with the title of the message, That You Might Become. God has made you a threshing machine, a threshing board that you can winnow that mountain, you can tear that mountain down. What's troubling you? What's come to steal, kill, and destroy from you? I love this. Can you see now? Can you see that picture behind there? That's the combine. That's the threshing machine. And all the chaff is getting blown away. And all you're left with is the good things of God. This morning, I want to encourage you. You are the threshing machine. You are that threshing sledge with new sharp teeth. And the word of God is that double-edged sword, those teeth that'll take out your enemy. It's the promise of God that is yours, amen? It's the promise of God of who you are in Christ, right? And we just need to take the time to establish our hearts in those things. Why don't you stand with me and we're going to pray. I'm over time, I apologize for that. Father, we come before you and we thank you that as children of Abraham, every promise is ours. And Lord, through Jesus, the healer, who's empowered us with Holy Spirit, has said, by my stripes you are healed. Father, I thank you that the threshing machine that you've made us, we will turn those mountains before us into chaff and let it be blown away. And be left with only the good things of God. Father, I pray for every request that is in this box. Father, we come at it like the threshing machine, tearing away the chaff, tearing away the things that are the mountains that are before them. And we're winnowing them out so that we're left with nothing but the good things of you, God. And we thank you, Father, for healing, for provision, and Jesus, for making us to be the righteousness of God in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we'll send you guys out the back door. And